The Lord be with you. May the word of God be on my mind, on my lips, in my heart. My brothers and sisters, this reading comes to us from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. John the Baptist appeared, preaching in the desert of Judea and saying, "Repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand." It was of him that the prophet Isaiah had spoken when he said, "A voice of one crying out in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths." John wore clothing made of camel's hair and had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locust and wild honey. At that time, Jerusalem, all of Judea, and the whole region around the Jordan were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the Jordan River as they acknowledged their sins. When he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce good fruit as evidence of your repentance. And do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you, God can raise up children to Abraham from these very stones. Even now the axe lies at the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree that does not bear fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I'm baptizing you with water for repentance, but the one who's coming after me, he's mightier than I. I'm not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan and his threshing floor, and gather his wheat into his barn. The shaft he will burn with unquenchable fire." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Has anybody here ever encountered a Mandean? Mandean. They're followers of John the Baptist. There's about, how many are there in this country? I wrote it down, 6,000 in this country, in the United States. There's about 100,000 in the world. It's a dying religion, but it's one of the oldest religions there is. It's a closed ethno-religious community, and it's monotheistic as well. And it has Gnostic tendencies, strong dualistic worldview they have. They revere Adam and Abel and Seth, even and Enoch and John the Baptist, the followers of John the Baptist. There are about 100,000 in the world today. They came over here from Iraq. They're Iraqi refugees. They're in Australia. They're all over the world now, but they're a dying religion because they're a closed ethno-religious community. Who would want to follow him anyways? I mean, no, seriously, did you hear what he was saying there? I don't think Jesus came, with unquenchable fire and, threats of hell or whatever. But that's Matthew, too. That's why I have a problem with Matthew sometimes. He didn't have to write that down. He didn't. But that was Matthew. I don't know what. John was a hit of his day. He was a big hit of his day, wasn't he? I mean, he was... they say the cousin of Jesus and 6 months older than Jesus. John sounds, I don't know about you, but pretty abrasive and confrontational. And you can't blame the guy. I mean, look at his diet. Locusts and mild honey just doesn't do it. But, his father, Zachary, believe it or not, was a priest. And his son was entitled to be part of the priestly aristocracy. But he chose not to. He renounced that for the severity of the Judean desert and the rations of Bedouins. So I was fascinated when I was over there, seeing all the Bedouins out there. If you leave the city and you travel through the country, you see so many Bedouins. I thought that was for like other centuries, but it's interesting. His audience seemed to hunger for his message. I mean, they all went out to him. They hadn't seen a prophet, actually, for about four centuries. And John certainly, well, he looked like a prophet. He sounded like a prophet. I mean, he wore the same garb that the prophet Isaiah wore eight centuries before him, just like a lot of religious orders wear the habits of their founders, like Dominic eight centuries before now. The people wanted their holy men to be rabble-rousers, more wild than mild, you know? I mean, it was to get the people upset in some ways. But this gave John a certain integrity, a certain credibility. So when he pointed his finger, they paid attention to him. And his disciples were probably surprised when his finger pointed at a laid-back carpenter from Nazareth. Was this the one who the world waited for? John said so. His job was to introduce the star and then to walk off the stage. John made no attempt to steal the show. Of course, these were Christian writers that wanted him off the stage anyways, but off he went. His ego was out of the way. In his message, Jesus uses the same word that John used. Repent. How many times have you heard that? What did it mean to those who heard it at the time? Well, the Hebrew word for repent is teshuba. And shoot or shub means to turn. So therefore, repent means to change your course, to switch your course, move to another direction, stop the direction you're going in. And I think our word for conversion comes probably close to it. It implies that there should be a change of one's mind, an expansion of one's awareness, and a higher consciousness. It calls for a reshaping of the inner self. And so, repentance doesn't mean going to confession. It is rather the interior light that wants one to confess. It goes deeper. So penitence is from the Latin penetus, meaning penetration. And so I'm sorry just doesn't do it. To say I'm sorry doesn't go deep enough. I don't like the way that I hurt you. Well, there you go. Then reconciliation can follow from that. And conversion is not a one-time thing. It's like a marriage ceremony. It's only for openers. Each day, every day, is a renewed commitment. So conversion is a fresh way of thinking about oneself. It's a willingness, I think, to listen to oneself. What does one like? What don't you like? What frustrates you? What works in your life? What's not working? You know, what's the guy that says, you know, how's that working for you or something? How's that going? You know, it's a willingness to be gentle with one's feelings. As one attends to maybe a hurting child. And you do it with humor, by the way. It's not something serious you do. You got to have some humor. You got to laugh at yourself. Conversion is taking care of oneself. Wanting to be the best that you can be. And that's not self-indulgence. It's self-preservation. Its primary obstacle is fear of the dark. Fear of that dark side that's in every one of us. The shadow side of oneself. That some people feel that we all feel at times unable to handle. So exploring this is not a search and destroy mission, by the way. No, that's not what it's about. It's about getting acquainted with yourself. Quality time. It's an attitude adjustment. And it's not, you know, well, it's a happy hour. But you don't do it at 5 o'clock, you know. But it's a happy hour. So my brothers and sisters, take time, maybe right in the beginning of your day, and start from a happy place. Spend some time with the one who baptizes you with fire and with spirit. Because the more we deepen our relationship every day with the risen Christ, and the more we align ourselves with the will of God in our lives, then we begin to bear good fruit.